Blog Talk Radio.
And hello, everybody.
Welcome to yet another episode of the Philly Mick and Hump Show. I am your host, the Philly Mick.
And I'm the Philly Hump.
Welcome, welcome to a wonderful Sunday early afternoon. After the first week of free agency, Philadelphia certainly is the talk of the NFL world right now, as a plethora of moves, some good, some bad, some in between, but all talked about nationally, that is for sure. We'll discuss some of the moves in the recent week or two, and kind of break everything down and see what other moves they may be making, should be making, and things leading up to the draft. It's been a whirlwind. It all starts, about almost 2 weeks ago. All of a sudden, LeSean McCoy gets traded. Star player.
Yeah, it was funny. I was doing the dishes at the time, and Jody comes in and tells me, hey,
Those dishes totally got it.
Yeah. She says, Eric, the Eagles traded LeSean McCoy. I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah, good job.
Like, at first, I'm thinking she's kidding with me, and then she says, yeah, they got to the Bills for some Chico Alonso. And I'm like, as soon as she named the name that I knew she would not know, I'm like, holy crap, she's serious.
Yeah. Well, and most fans obviously had no idea who Chico Alonso was.
I loved him.
You know, they saw injury, they saw Oregon, and they said, this is the worst trade ever.
They thought, what is Sam Hinkie doing here trading for an injured player?
I mean, it's on the surface, I would say 90% of fans probably were furious. I'm never going to watch the Eagles again. They're dead to me.
A fan of our show, Mike, you know, he texted me after I texted him to tell him about the news, and he informed me of a sudden change of arrangement in his living room furniture. He was none too happy. I think he made reference to his couch may end up on his neighbor's yard.
It's understandable. It's a shocking move.
Sure.
You don't just trade, you know, one of the best running backs in the game for somebody, you know, some linebacker that nobody's really heard of. I mean, to be honest.
Well, he was a defensive rookie years ago. He's an awesome player. People are going to love him once they get to know him, but I can understand the initial response.
He's not a household name.
Right.
He was runner-up in the Defensive Rookie of the Year 2 years ago. You know how there's probably about three or four technical Rookie of the Years. He won, one of them, Writers Association, Professional Writers Association Rookie of the Year, Defensive Rookie of the Year. So he technically won a Rookie of the Year, but and then unfortunately he got hurt. He was out for the year.
Really early on. What is it, a mini camp or was it in a training camp started? Yeah.
Yeah, he's definitely had some rest. He's done things the right way, considering he's a young player. You know, you don't ever want to rush back, especially when you're young.
I don't think he's rushed, and I think he'll be just fine for training camp and everything else. I mean, he'll be all set.
Yeah. You know, and obviously on the surface, you say, okay, well, our prolific offense just lost its most dynamic weapon. Also, the fact that we still have to, you know, re-sign our number one wide receiver. You know, what the heck is going on, you know? I think everybody thought Chip was crazy, and I'm sure people still probably do, but
yeah.
But you know, yeah, on the surface, it didn't look great. And I wasn't even, and as anybody who knows me, and anybody who's listened to this show, knows that I'm a fan of linebackers. I'm a fan of building a defense through the linebackers. And even I was kind of like, maybe they could have gotten some picks back. Or, you know.
Yeah, I still think, like, I didn't mind, like, hey, look, I'm a huge fan of Kiko Alonso. I think he's got a real bright future. I think he's going to be a great player here. And I think this town will love him once they see him play.
Yeah,
but as I said, actually, on Facebook, I love him probably more than Jody's comfortable with. But you and I were just like, oh, we couldn't at least gotten, like, a mid-round pick in addition?
Well,
you know,
I
would have thought,
just,
you know, Kiko Alonso and, you know, a third or fourth round pick. You know.
Yeah, but it goes to show you that running backs, you know,
yeah,
are
not that valued. Yeah,
not yeah. They're becoming less and less valuable in the league, and you know. So I think Chip got a good deal. He bought on a player low, coming off of an injury, and I think with the fact that you have him and Kendricks, and I guess technically Ryan. You know, and the fact that Alonso can play outside, he started on the outside.
Right.
You know, so he can play in and out. Kendricks has shown that he can play in and out. So, you know, I think it'll be a good when you factor in Connor Barwin, Brandon Graham, who obviously resigned.
Sure.
And, you know, Kendricks, Alonso.
A very understated move in all of these moves was the nice re-signing of Brandon Graham.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I think we all went into the offseason saying, hey, if we're going for an outside linebacker, Jason Worlds is, you know, the target here. He's the best in the market. And blah, blah, blah. He decided at 27 he wanted to retire, so... That went out the window.
Yeah. But then the question became, what, you know, even though the running back position undervalued, what were the Eagles going to do at running back? And let's segue right in. You know, we all asked, we said, well, does this mean we're just going to see more Polk Sproles and then add somebody to the draft? I think that was the popular consensus.
Yeah. I think people were maybe not necessarily okay with that, but I think people were accepting that that would be the fact.
And I think they also looked at it as the Eagles have some holes to fill. If that's one of those that, you know, we fill with the second round of the draft, you know, we're okay with that.
Yeah.
And, you know, go fill your need at wide receiver, especially since, you know, the Eagles unable to re-sign Jeremy Maclin, signs with the Kansas City Chiefs. Reuniting with former head coach Andy Reid and going back home to his home state of Missouri. He'll be about, he went to the University of Missouri, which is in Kansas City, which is where he'll be playing.
Yes, technically. So, yes, he's definitely has a homecoming on more than one front there. And quite honestly, he got more money than he was worth. And, you know,
as much as I would love
the Eagles to have Maclin right now, I think at $11 million, that's overpaying for a player.
Sure. The rumor was they were going to sign Frank Gore. That was the big thing, and a lot of people expected that. Then at the 11th hour, Frank Gore decides not to re-sign here, or not to sign here.
Yeah, I mean, they had that 3-day grace period. And, the legal tampering. And, you know, we heard Maxwell, you know, deal with Maxwell, deal with Gore. You know, hey, all right, we're doing good. All of a sudden, Frank Gore may not want to come here. And I think we all accepted, all right, Frank Gore's not bad. But, you know, given the fact that the type of runner that he is, north and south, obviously, let's hope not south, but a straight ahead runner.
Yeah, we more north than south, but yeah.
Right. Ahead runner to go with Sproles, more of a pass catcher. You know, it could be a nice combination, and I think for what their offense is, I think we would be accepting of that. But then, yeah, he decided, I don't know if I want to deal with this whole Chip Kelly smoothie, hardcore workout type deal, and
Yeah.
backed out of his verbal, which was funny
Which is his right.
because there were, I'm sure you saw some of them, there were a couple of tribute
Tribute
videos
videos. Yeah, I was
to
gonna
Frank
ask you
Gore.
about that. Especially like the one with Sarah McLachlan's
It was the I Will Remember You song, and
Yeah.
Joe Frank showed underneath his like stats, 0 games played, 0 carries, 0 yards.
Zero TDs, yeah. Everything, zeros.
It was pretty funny. He's like, thanks, Frank, for all the
Yeah, I got a kick out of that. And then, I mean, of course, right away, as soon as free agency started, we did, in fact, land Byron Maxwell, which, if you remember listening to the show, was my number one wish list guy. So I was happy about that.
Yeah, he was number 2 on my list.
And then came the very puzzling and still the only move of this that I will really go out and vehemently question. As soon as the league year started, we get word of a trade between the Eagles and the St. Louis Rams, and they exchange quarterbacks, Nick Foles for Sam Bradford. And
All
as I like
right,
to call
yeah.
him, a more expensive, more fragile version of Nick Foles.
Well,
And
and I think at first too, there were a lot of speculation as to the picks. I think when it
right,
first
because it
got
was said that there were going to be picks exchanging hands here, and
no
we
one knew
thought,
what
oh, well, this means maybe we're exchanging number ones too.
nobody knew what the picks were. A lot of reports were saying that we got a second. A lot of reports were that we swapped first. And it's like, all right, well, if we were swapping first, why the heck did we even bother, getting
Getting Sam
Bradford, considering
Bradford,
at that point we had just re-signed Mark Sanchez.
yeah.
It was a little confusing, and probably honestly 6 hours after the trade kind of was first announced, we find out, we actually gave up
A second next year,
we got
yeah.
back a what a fifth a
We
fifth
got back a
rounder.
fifth, we gave up a
And we
fourth,
gave
and
up
next year's
a
second.
fourth for this year and a second for next year. We're like, wait a minute, that doesn't add up. But you also factor in the conditional picks of
Yeah.
if he, I think what it is if he doesn't start at least 8 games, it's a
It
fourth
goes down to
rounder.
like a fourth rounder, yeah.
If he doesn't play the 8 games because of injury, it becomes a third rounder. And I think if he doesn't even play a snap, we get a second. I think. I don't know. That's the last
Yeah,
I
that's
heard.
fine.
And again, if, and Chip actually came out and spoke to the media for the first time in 6 months,
Yeah. It was
saying,
nice of him
hey,
to join us.
Sam's our quarterback. This is who I wanted. Blah, 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 blah.
And the whole I'm not
I'll
mortgaging
dispel
our
all the rumors.
future.
I'm not
Yeah.
trading up. I'm not going to mortgage the future for Mariota. Yada, yada, yada. So take that one for what it's worth. I kind of smell a little BS,
Oh,
but
sure. I mean, this is everybody smoke screens this time of year.
sure.
So,
But
I
I
mean, that
think,
could easily be a smoke screen.
But my thought process is, all right, I think he was truthful in his, I'm not going to mortgage our future. I think
Well, I thought
what
that
it'll
was
come
very
down
carefully
to,
worded. Yeah.
yeah, exactly. I think what it'll come down to is if Mariota starts to fall, which I wholeheartedly believe at this point that he will,
Sure.
I feel like he'll slip out of the top 10. And I think if he gets to around 12, he'll say, hey, Browns, you had interest in Sam Bradford. In fact, Chip even said that he was offered a first rounder the next day. The Jeff Fisher, the Rams head coach, said they got multiple first round offers, but that he wanted a quarterback in return and loved Nick Foles. So obviously, there's teams out there that have and were willing to offer a first round pick. Now, I'm going to assume that one of them was the Browns,
Sure.
The other one was probably the Texans, and kind of make it up as you go along for the other two other teams. But you know, I don't think.
Well, the Texans would certainly make a lot of sense.
Right, because again, they're middle of the draft. You know, Browns have two picks. You know, there's a couple of, you know, I don't think somebody like Tennessee obviously offered a first round pick because
no.
That's just
if Tennessee was offering you a first round pick, I'm sure that you know.
Yeah,
the Rams
I'd be like, hey,
taken.
Sorry, Sammy, have fun in Nashville.
Yeah. Hope you like
but
country
I think,
music.
I think if it comes down to that, he starts slipping. To say maybe he the Browns' first pick at 12 and be like, hey, you originally wanted him for your 19th. How about you swap him now and we'll throw in a third? You know?
Yeah.
And you got your guy. We'll get our guy. Everybody wins. You get a little extra pick. And then you still have a first-round pick to help help your team.
Yep.
So,
hey, I completely agree.
So I think
yeah.
That's honestly what's going to happen. Should Mariota fall, and like I said, I truly believe he will.
I do
if
too.
For some reason he does not, if
some
the Jets
rumors.
Are stupid
yeah.
and go ahead and take Mariota or Tennessee or whoever.
Or even Washington.
Then again,
yeah,
it's back to business. I think the first priority needs to be trying to land the safety out of Alabama, excuse me.
Yeah, Landon Collins, yeah.
Right, and he should be the number one priority, considering as of right now, you look at this roster, and what are the holes that we need to fill right now? Obviously,
safety
right guard.
Safety and wide receiver, yeah.
Right guard, safety,
yep.
Wide receiver,
mm-hmm.
And honestly, I would love a better number two option at corner, but that's
well,
beggars
sure.
can't be choosers kind of deal. But
yeah.
So, you know, the simple fact is that we have three hardcore needs, and we could fill one of them with a stud. And second round, there's so many wide receivers. We could get that Green Beckham kid.
Yeah,
Dorial Green-Beckham, who's likely to slip out of you know into the second round.
Yeah, most likely, but given his checkered past.
Right, and grab him in the second round, and hey, there
mm-hmm.
you go. You have two young receivers that you know on your team with Matthews and this kid, and
yep.
you know what? You'll have a good tandem. And you know what, speaking of two young receivers, I know obviously everybody loves to play a draft expert, but if we hadn't wasted our pick on Marcus Smith and went ahead and drafted a wide receiver, we could have had Calvin Benjamin.
Yep.
And could you imagine Benjamin with Matthews? We'd be like, Macklin who?
Yeah, right.
We don't need Macklin. So, I just
well,
like to throw that out there
because
I think that's kind of funny.
If you're taking Kelvin Benjamin, you probably wouldn't have drafted Jordan Matthews in the second round. You would have most likely tried to fill a different need. But I get your
you
point.
Obviously, you would think. But, hey, you know what? I think this offseason proved that, yeah, has there ever been, obviously the answer is no, but a GM who just, you know, first-time GM coming in and just lighting the offseason on fire. I mean, literally every network is talking about all the Eagles' moves in those first couple of days. It was,
yeah, I have to think
know,
that, like, at some point here, it's like almost as if Chip Kelly had ADD and, like, he came in. It's just like, oh, my God, I got to do something. With how fast he talks and everything's all about speed and efficiency, and it just screams, he must be ADD.
I mean,
like,
honestly.
Oh, my God, let me get rid of this guy. Let me treat this guy.
He runs practice fast. He coaches fast. He talks fast. Why shouldn't he GM fast?
Hey, I mean, look, and if his idea was, let me come in here and completely reshape the look of this team and think, you know what, that core group, it just wasn't going to happen for them, then I think, you know, you got to make the moves because it's ultimately it's your butt on the line. Right. And if you're going to go down doing it your way. And
exactly. I think you know, he had a plan. He wanted had a team that he had in mind, and he went out and got it. You know, he released Harriman's, you know, Cole. You know, obviously, you know, traded Shady. Didn't, you know, we didn't re-sign Macklin. Again, I think that's more on Macklin than anybody, but...
Well, sure. I mean, that's Macklin maximizing, you know, his earning potential.
And you can't
him.
Necessarily blame Macklin for that, but you can't blame the Eagles. For like, oh, the Chiefs
Eagles.
I don't blame they offered $10
million. I don't blame either side. Like, the Eagles had their walk-away number. Macklin wanted to make the most of being a free agent, which is his right to do.
Right.
And so,
and that's
understandable. Good luck.
Right. I just honestly hope that we decide to sign a veteran wide receiver because I can't have Riley Cooper
I know
as our
guys
number one.
Two guys we talked about, Michael Crabtree, you know, obviously the former San Francisco 49er. The guy I've talked about a lot on this show, but I typically meant for him to be like a second-tier guy, like a backup or, you know, third receiver was Akeem Nix. But at this point, you are going
to
need a number one. He'd probably be the number two receiver behind Jordan Matthews. I'd say right now, you know, hoping that he is taking that next step as a wide receiver this offseason, that Jordan Matthews is very well looking at the possibility of becoming in the camp as the number one receiver.
I mean, I think overall, sure, but I think they want to have him in the slot still another year, ideally, before they move him to the outside. But, you know, again, you know, maybe a one-year, you know, one-year prove-it deal to Crabtree would be fantastic. And have Crabtree, him, and, you know, Coop, and hopefully a rook with Josh Huff. And there you go. There's five wide receivers.
Yeah,
and
there's your deep receiving group. And one thing we will say with this receiving group, there may not be that many passes to go around because the Eagles are going to run the football this year.
Yeah,
the addition of DeMarco Murray, who we hadn't gotten
We haven't even talked about the thank God, honestly, we should really be thanking Frank Gore and all of this.
Yeah.
His decision.
Like, what's appropriate here, like a fruit basket or a flower arrangement?
Yeah, I think a little, one of those, like, edible fruit
arrangements.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we should send one to Indy, to Frank Gore, because, you know, all of a sudden it was, you know, oh, all right, you know, that sucks. Like, you know, it was funny. People were not that big of a fan of it. But then the second he decided not to come here, they were like, oh, what the hell? We're screwed. Like,
yeah, right.
Like,
what are we
running
back? My God.
Yeah. So then Ryan Matthews comes to town, and I've always been a fan of Ryan Matthews.
Sure.
And, you know, he's, again, has a little bit of,
but yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That seems to be the theme. Yeah, I was cool with it. I was like, all right, you know, Ryan Matthews, you know, change of scenery with Sproles. You know, they were teammates a couple
and
of years
Polk.
Ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, with Paul.
And you figure Paul
was going to
take more
fine.
Active role. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be fine. You know, all of a sudden it was, by the way, the Eagles and DeMarco Murray have mutual interest. And it was that for you know, a day.
Yeah,
and then
it was funny
the
way that happened. Yeah, because it was like overnight you hear, oh, DeMarco Murray has interest in the Eagles, and the Eagles have interest in him, and I'm like, oh, that's cute. But we know the Eagles are signing Ryan Matthews, and like he was scheduled the same day to be in the building to take a physical, and you're like, well, he's probably just, the Eagles are probably just doing this as a hoax to try and get
Dallas
to get the
off
Cowboys
their
to
offer
on
him. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure DeMarco was, you know, we all thought DeMarco was probably thinking the same thing. And that's fine.
Sure.
That, you know, that happens. No fault or no blame on anybody. But
one
of
the classic examples
of
that, I remember, was Orlando Pace doing that with using the Texans to get the Rams to up their offer, and it worked.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what he was really thinking he was going to do.
And, well, yeah, then it was all of a sudden, oh, yeah, by the way, DeMarco Murray coming in on Thursday. We're like, oh, okay, this is getting a little more serious. And
yeah,
then it was,
Ryan
Matthews had agreed to a verbal deal.
Yeah, Ryan Matthews had agreed to an oral deal. And you just figured, oh, okay, you know, the... Oh, and it appears as if we lost the Philly Mick. Hopefully he calls right back in. But, yeah, just to keep that story going, it looks as if DeMarco Murray, you know, it's getting more serious. And the Eagles had agreed in principle to a deal with Ryan Matthews. And once it became apparent on, I guess, was that Wednesday or Thursday it was, that, you know, DeMarco Murray was going to sign here, that he just, that, well, I guess the Eagles aren't going to keep that offer to Matthews. But Chip Kelly and the Eagles coaching staff did the right thing. They had already made an agreement with Matthews, and I'm sure they made him aware and saying, hey, the offer's still there, but if you want to go somewhere and be the every down back, you know, we understand, and, you know, we'll let you off the hook. But he decides, hey, you know, I made an agreement too, and so he's going to stay here. So the Eagles have a running back situation, you know, locked in, ready to go. And just as a reminder for everybody, before I continue on with this conversation, I want to give everybody the call-in number once again. It's 347-989-0699. So call on in and carry over in the podcast. You got about 3.5 minutes to go. Hopefully, Philly Mick will rejoin us here in a moment. As I don't know what happened, he's almost seemed mid thought and dropped off. And the question has become, what does this mean then for the Eagles' draft needs? You know, we talked about already the holes at wide receiver, offensive guard, safety. You know, I even heard on some reports that they really believe, I believe the Philly Mick is back with us. I've heard reports that they really believe that the Marcus Mariota may fall to the Eagles at 20. Mick, are you there?
Yeah, I don't know what the hell happened, but...
Yeah, as I said, I think you got dropped off in mid-thought there, but... I went ahead and finished summarizing the day that was when DeMarco Murray signed, and we thought that, hey, the Eagles had reached a verbal agreement with Ryan Matthews, but they were going to let him off the hook if he wanted to go somewhere and be the every down back. But he decided he wanted to stick it out and continue what could be a very special running back tandem here. We've never seen this before, where two feature backs, two guys who could easily go anywhere else and be the feature backs, are going to be sharing the load. And I think it's going to help a lot, you know, game by game, being able to be fresh in a particular game and down the stretch, being able to be, you know, healthy and able to run the football very well come late in the year. And I think that was part of what really slowed the Eagles down this past year. It seemed like they ran out of steam towards the end of the year. And now I really think with these two kind of running backs, and you got Chris Paul and Darren Sproles, I don't think the Eagles are going to be running out of steam, at least not in the running game.
Yeah, no, I think, that's why I think if we can get ourselves a halfway decent wide receiver, you know, to go along with Matthews and Coop with the running back situation we have, and, you know, we do find ourselves a right guard, and quite honestly, if we don't end up trading Evan Mathis, which is now the rumor, I think we could have, again, that just as a prolific of an offense.
We have a minute left. Just want to let everybody know, call in number 347-989-0699. We'll take you on into the podcast with us, where we'll continue this discussion and talk about whatever you want. So call on in.
Absolutely. I think they could have a real nice offense. And obviously the defense is much improved given the fact that we have a number one corner. We have a solid set of linebackers now. Our front three are very good as well. You know, we need to get that safety. So we'll bring everybody on in to the podcast. Thank you very much for listening. I want to thank everyone who calls in and listens to the show on the regular. join us on Facebook, Twitter, email, Blog Talk, everything else.
And we're in the podcast.
All right.
Really, I didn't want to cut you off. You were rolling there.
Well, you don't have a countdown, but
I know.
But yeah, I'm excited. I'm obviously, you know, I really want to see how this all comes together. You know, the draft again. I think there's basically two thoughts: is if Mariota falls, we try to move up a couple spots to grab him. Or we stay put. You know, we try to draft, you know, that safety or even a corner, should that happen. You know, maybe second round we go for a wide receiver or a guard. I think right now we have three major holes: safety, wide receiver, and guard. Other than that, I think it's all depth. You know, unfortunately right now we only have about $7 mil in cap space, after having about 50.
Yeah, right? We went on a little spending spree, which is unusual for you. And it's funny, I actually heard that Joe Banner was asked about it, and he actually came out with some glowing reviews for Chip Kelly and what he's doing.
Yeah, he definitely had some nice things to say. So, you know, it's good that
Banner finally being classy about it.
Yeah, exactly. It's good that Joey Banner isn't holding any grudges.
I think now that Howie Rosen's not running the show as GM, I think he's probably going to be a lot more open to being impartial. I think him and Howie, I'm sure he feels like Howie stabbed him in the back. And then he tried to do the same thing to Chip here, and then Chip said, no, look, buddy, I'm running the show. I'm the football guy. Go play with
your
money. Which, I mean, I'd be fine with playing with some money, but, you know, if I played with my money, it wouldn't, you know, I'd get bored very quickly.
Right. that's funny. Yeah,
I'm very happy to see what the Eagles are doing. It's a different approach.
It certainly is. It is, certainly is. So it'll be exciting to see what happens.
I certainly think the Eagles fans, and I know we've been known to react to each move individually. I think the theme we're starting to see is maybe you shouldn't judge this till you see the finished product. Even though
after every move, it was either, oh, all right, great move, or, oh, my God, what is going on? Oh, my life is over. I'm done with the Eagles. Like, I've had so many friends be like, dude, this is BS. I'm done. They can't believe they traded Foles. They traded Shady. They didn't re-sign Macklin. I'm done. F them. You know what? I'm not a fan of the players. I'm a fan of the team.
Oh, yeah, I'm a fan of the team,
You know what? I may have my favorite players. I love Shady. I'm a fan of Pitt.
Sure.
I've been following him since he started his college career.
I don't know how big a Shady fan you are. Yeah.
Jerseys. I have pictures. I have posters. I have a whole section of my basement dedicated to Shady. Now I don't know what to do with it.
Well, I mean,
I don't know whether
just
to leave it
that.
As like in memory, or replace it with some Kiko Alonso and hopefully Marcus Mariota. You know, like, I'm going to have to wait
and
see.
Maybe some DeMarco Murray stuff.
Yeah, maybe Murray stuff, exactly. I'm just going to have to wait and see how this all plays out. So, it's
definitely a new day in Philadelphia.
Yeah, it certainly is. I advise people to show patience, let Chip do his thing, stop, I was going to say Malcolm Jenkins said it best. He's like, hey, leave the man alone. Mad genius at work. Let him do his thing.
No, look, I mean, we'll have plenty of time to criticize if he comes in and doesn't result in winning football. Like, if this team doesn't take some steps forward, even if, this year isn't the best year, but you see signs of things are going to start going the way Chip wants them to go. Have some patience, but, there'll be plenty of time to criticize if this doesn't work.
Exactly.
And you'll see it, and then all the critics have a good time. But for now, let's just all take a deep breath and just, as Aaron Rodgers would say, I'm not going to do the whole thing, but you know, relax.
Exactly. Exactly. You know what? I'll put it this way. I wouldn't care if they brought in Brett Favre. If Brett Favre led us to a Super Bowl win,
oh, I don't care.
And anyone who knows anything about me knows that I hate Brett Favre. I think he is the most overrated quarterback in the history of the game.
Sure.
I think he's a bum. He's a hillbilly hick retiring.
And he's all those things.
And he's old as all hell doing Wrangler jeans and something about Mary. I don't care. I hate the guy, but if he wins the Super Bowl, I'll hate him a little less.
If Brett Favre
doesn't
came
matter.
In here, let
I'm
the
wait
Eagles
it
right
out.
Now to the to a Super Bowl, I would go so far as to say I think you would actually, at least for a while, say that you're a Brett Favre fan.
I don't know.
If he led us to a Super Bowl, would you be willing to say it if it led us to a Super Bowl?
If Brett Favre won the Super Bowl.
Look, if Michael Irvin came out of retirement and decided, hey, I'm going to go play for the Eagles, and it meant we were going to win a Super Bowl, you can bet I would stand up here and say, I'm a Michael Irvin fan. And you know how much I hate Michael Irvin.
True, but I feel like I hate Favre more than you hate Irvin.
Are you kidding me? The number one receiver on our arch nemesis, the Dallas Cowboys. I can understand you didn't like Brett Favre, but in the end, he played for Green Bay. Now, I know they're a conference rival, but it's not a division rival. You're not seeing them twice every year.
I mean, understandable, like I said.
I felt like Michael Irvin single-handedly ruined my Eagles rooting interests for my high school years.
I have an intense hatred
for Michael Irvin.
And yeah, that whole team definitely sucked. But I get the point. Would I buy a Favre jersey? Probably not. Would I say?
Well, no. Nah, I mean, I wouldn't expect you to shell out money for the guy.
No, I'd be like, hey, good job, bud.
If Brett Favre came here, led the Eagles to the Super Bowl championship, and a few days later, you see him on the street somewhere. You going up, shaking his hand, saying thank you so much, you know, being, you know, grateful. I'm not saying you have to crush all over him.
You're going to ask me what I'm going to say to Brett Favre after that?
Yeah.
Oh, I will go right up to his hand. I'll go right up to him, shake his hand, say, I couldn't have hated you anymore before this season. And quite honestly, I think you're a fraud. I think you're a hack. I think you just chucked the ball up. I think you your athleticism and the way you play the game overcompensates for the fact that you're just throwing the ball up there and praying. That being said, thank you so much for making this city a championship city once again. And I will always respect you for that. Have a good day. Go after yourself.
You know, I got to be honest. In the same situation, insert Michael Irvin instead of of course, in different wording in there because, you know, he didn't chuck the ball up. You know, I think you're a punk who, you know, abused the system about, you know, pushed off way too much and just tried to milk every call to get you to go your way. Like you're arrogant and a jackass, but thank you for bringing Super Bowl to our town, and I will always respect you and appreciate what you did here this year, but at the end of the day, you're always a Cowboy, and I hate you. Go F yourself.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that went about the way I saw it.
Yeah.
But that actually brought me to, and since we only have a few minutes left, I wanted to have a little theme. I've been trying to do like a little theme question each week that we've had a show. And since this was the start of free agency, all time, favorite free agent signing by any of the four major sports?
Yeah,
you can just think of, if you want, I'll give mine first. Yeah.
Oh, man. That
I have a
top.
Few in mind, but...
I probably could pick one from every sport. I think I'll start with baseball because I already know my hockey.
Okay.
I think my favorite was probably Jim Thome.
Okay.
I would say my basketball. They really haven't had too many good ones.
No.
Shit. Skip basketball.
Hockey. We can pass on basketball.
Yeah, hockey is clearly JR,
yeah.
Jeremy Roenick. That's tough.
You want me to give my other two sports ones, and then we can both give our Eagles ones?
All right, yeah, give me a little more time.
Yeah. Okay, well, my baseball one, it was such an exciting time. Only one free agent signing has ever gotten me up out of bed to go tell my dad in the middle of the night, and that was when you called me, woke me up to tell me Cliff Lee had signed back here in Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one, too.
That certainly had me excited. Hockey, I'll tell you, I thought it didn't turn out to be that huge. It was just a one-year deal that he came here, but really thought it helped Claude Giroux become a much better player, and that was Jaromír Jágr when the Flyers signed him.
Sure, that's a good one.
So I was very excited about that one. Basketball, I there's nothing.
I can't even.
I'm sorry.
I can't even think of a decent one.
I mean, the one that at the time I thought was a good move, but didn't turn out to be good, was Elton Brand.
Sure, Elton Brand. That other guy who never played for us.
Yeah,
yeah,
we'll find him. Yeah.
They all sounded
Elton
good.
Brand at least did play.
That's true. I don't know. I literally have nothing.
Eagles one I thought was just one of a good signing, and I remember just the build up around it when the Eagles signed Ricky Waters. I really thought that was so, because he was a restricted free agent, and it was the Niners had 7 days to respond, and. You know, it was before Twitter and really the internet even. So you couldn't really find out anything until that last day, at that last hour. I remember being with my dad watching the news and having sports talk radio on to try and find out. And when they announced that Ricky Waters was an Eagle, how excited I was. So that would be my Eagles one.
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know if you wanted to give your Eagles. We're about to run out of time.
Shit.
Or we can save it for next week and give you a week to think about it.
you know what? I'm going to do that regardless. I will give my I keep having a couple, and then I keep like re-signing Trotter.
That was a good one, sure.
That was certainly a good one that I liked. Honestly, I'm going to go with, I mean, technically it was a trade.
What, T.O.?
T.O.
How about that same offseason, Javon Kearse?
Yeah, that was a big one, certainly. I think I was real pumped.
That was such a weird thing. I guess we can just count that as just the off-season move that you were excited about the most.
Asante Samuel.
That one, yeah, that was another one. When I was thinking about this question, that was another one that came up in my head, the Asante Samuel.
And I think DeMarco will go down as a good one. I mean, this is the first ever that the leading rusher, the next year is on a new team, and that team is us. And the fact of the matter is, we have the last 2 years of rushing champions.
Yeah, we had LeSean McCoy, and then we had DeMarco Murray now coming in.
Yeah, so Yeah, it's exciting. But, yeah, we're about to get kicked off any second now. I'm sure you'll be hearing me curse in about 3 seconds. But thank you, everyone, for listening in to the show.